Welcome to NFL Schwitz, Week 5. This week we're discussing some headlines, particularly Vontaze Burfict kicked out of the NFL. Sad, sad stuff. We're doing the quarter season awards. Four games already gone by. We're going to be talking about some guys that have been impressive, disappointing so far, MVP, Coach of the Year, stuff like that. A couple of spread pick'ems, and then, of course, updates on our fantasy leagues and survivor pools. But, boys, beginning with Vontaze Burfict, suspended for the remainder of the season after his latest helmet-to-helmet hit on Jack Doyle. Do you agree with him not playing football anymore this year?
It happens to be a fellow Jack, so I think, you know, reprimand this man with everything you got. That was a dirty play, but it was kind of odd because he was getting off his knees, and it was kind of like an irregular kind of hit, but you could just see, even from his reaction, I do think Goodell and the commissioning office took it into consideration, his reaction afterwards, zero remorse, kissing the crowd, blowing kisses, and this is a guy who's been suspended 13 times, fined over $4 million. I mean, at a point, enough is enough, and unless the NFLPA, unless they come out and say, you know, protect this man, we want him in the league, I can't imagine that, because he's just taken out guys. And 5 years ago was the Antonio Brown hit. I think this reminds me of like the Ron Artest, where he was suspended for an entire season, but this is a guy who's now done it 13 times. Ron Artest was, we considered him this psychopath, but he had never come close to doing something like this 13 times.
At least he did it to the fans.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, like the fans aren't getting paid.
Yeah, Detroit fans.
Big whoop, you break a fan's leg. It doesn't really matter that you're
talking
about.
It's kind of worse, by the way.
Breaking a fan's leg?
Well, these guys are getting paid to get hit.
I guess that's true. Like, yeah, I didn't sign up for this.
Hit the fans.
Yeah,
for watching.
I like that you just made that basketball comparison, because and given the history also with Vontaze Burfict, it feels like 5 years ago the Antonio Brown thing, it was closer to 3.5. He's done this repeatedly, as you've said. I'm not sure about the amount of games he's lost out on, but he's built up this reputation. This is who he is. This reminds me, because when I said the basketball comparison, sort of like every time Draymond Green gets teed up for like piping up even like one word to the refs, and it's always like, oh, it's because it's me, because they expect me to be you know, sort of vocal and, you know, this demonstrative acts. And that's what always attributes all his technical fouls that he gets and he keeps getting when he's saying, cause it's me. This is, you can make the comparison to OBJ with the whole watch fiasco a few weeks ago. I'm overrating that. It really wasn't much of a fiasco. He just wore a really expensive watch and he said, it's because it's me. People are looking at me. The eyes are on me. And that's absolutely right, what's happened here. People know Vontaze Burfict is. He has this reputation for giving dirty hits, specifically helmet to helmet, which the NFL, I mean, point of emphasis is just an understatement. They have been trying to eliminate helmet to helmet hits, harsher penalties beyond the 15 yards in a game. I just don't know. I would love to know the actual process. And you brought up the NFL PA, Jack, and I don't know really what goes into this decision. I mean, the hit happens on Sunday. You get the suspension on, was it Tuesday? Or Monday? I think it was Tuesday.
It was a really quick turnaround.
Like, I don't know what they really did. Did they just sit down and say, okay, like, we have the numbers, how many times he's been suspended, we know how many times he's hit, what do we do now? I mean, that was Week 4. I don't understand. You just zoom past the next 75% of the season. He's going to appeal this, but I think it was a bit harsh. I would have expected 3-4 games, but I don't know what procedures they've now set in terms of like repeat offenders.
I'm sure that in the past they wanted to do this already and they said, you have one more try. Let's not fuck this up. And he did. And so immediately they took action. I am not a defensive player in the NFL. I don't understand if you necessarily are attempting to go helmet to helmet or if you're attempting to take off a guy's head. I do know that you have a choice whether you lead with the helmet or you lead with the shoulder. And the point of emphasis for years now is you cannot lead with the helmet. It's in college football. It's in the NFL. You get kicked out of games and a guy continuously, the helmet, I think this is the least of the worries. Like in past years, he's gone for ankles. He's gone for legs.
Cheap shots.
He's just a dirty player. So I think that with the NFL trying to clean up the league, trying to give the league longevity, CTE. You have a guy that has a history of like foul play.
The only reason we know this guy, he's 29. I think he's been in the league for 9 years. He's been a starter with the Bengals. Now he's with the Raiders. He's even a captain on the Raiders, which is hilarious because he was also scooped this offseason. But the only reason we know him and he's become kind of a household name is because these dirty, unforgiving hits that he just pummels guys like when they're not looking and they're defenseless. And he's an absolute animal. He's in the worst way to put it, this is a bad dude. I mean, you're supposed to go out there and hit, but this guy goes out there to end careers and take out knees and take out heads. And unfortunately, this is happening in his 29 in his year in his age. What do we call it? Age 29 season? What?
Sure. Let's call it pre 30. Fucking piece in your wonder years, sort of the back end.
We should have done this one.
Right, and this also reminds me of Ndamukong Suh, who had a few of these dirty plays. What, he stepped on Aaron Rodgers once, and then I forget what the other thing he did. He was just like pumped. It was always late hits on quarterbacks, which was the worst part. But Ndamukong Suh has gotten past that. He's gotten past it. I don't know what team is he on now.
He's on the Bucks.
Is he on the Bucks?
Revenge
he's on the Bucks
TD
now.
This
he's,
past
he's bounced
week.
Around a couple teams. He's bounced back from this. He did not get that.
He was also talented. I don't think Vontaze Burfict's talented.
But the point is that
he's on a pretty big contract. I think that he's pretty talented. But what I was going to say before you said that, but Sue is not Aaron Donald, and Sue is not J.J. Watt, and you see a lot of guys.
Sue at a point was up there when he went to the Dolphins.
Okay, but you see guys that are way better than both of the guys just mentioned that are clean and incredible at defense. So to the point that people are saying, like some people are out there saying, oh, these guys are trained to hit. Like this is football. Like guys are really, really good at football without these cheap shots.
I agree. And it's – from like a player perspective, like from Vontaze Burfict's camp, let's say, it's not a good look. He doesn't sell jerseys by taking out other guys like this. He does have
his coach and his quarterback behind him on this one.
Yeah, clearly he sold Gruden.
But Gruden's, by the way, Gruden's saying, you know, this clearly hurts our team. Carr's saying he's really a good guy. He's a nice guy. But that, you know, you really just throw that all out the window. I'm just saying from the support aspect, you know, he has guys coming out and saying things for him. I mean, the Bengals thing from 3.5 years ago,
I heard it.
I thought it was 2016. I think it was five. Playoffs, first round. I think it was 2016 playoffs first round. I'll just say it again. 2016.
To your point about
first round wild card game. I think it was my birthday that night. Be that as it may.
Who cares?
That hit was also, you know, you could bring in, remember before that there was the Hines Ward illegal block. There was a lot, and that was just classic Steelers Bengals. But that is really what started. That set the standard for the Burfict. Is he a dirty player? Is he not a dirty player? That's the one everyone will remember him from. And I agree with you. It's just impossible to block that out of the mind when you're giving this suspension. And they're thinking, okay, he's done it X amount of times. He's been suspended Y games. Now what do we do? And this is the decision they chose to take.
Yeah, he's gone.
Well, I think with the appeal coming in, and we've never seen this, so I don't really know what kind of precedent there's been set for someone who's suspended for the rest of the season and then comes back and appeals. We've seen a lot of appeals with some of the legal battles. We've seen guys take it out of the NFL. And, you know, you saw Ezekiel Elliott do it with the Southern District of New York and the Tom Brady case as well. There's a lot of legal. I don't know what is going to come out of this. There could be some legal battles which may – I don't know if that would actually pause and stay the suspension and then he's allowed to play. But I think he's a great chance of winning this appeal, getting it reduced to maybe – I don't know, six games? I mean, that's a lot of games.
In other news, did you guys see what happened with Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen this past week?
No, but you did.
Good. I'm sure that you did, but I'll read a couple of tweets. Adam Thielen, so the Vikings got shellacked by the Bears, scored 6 points. After the game, Adam Thielen came out and said, at some point, you're not going to be able to run the ball 180 yards, even with the best running back in the NFL. That's when you have to be able to throw the ball. You have to be able to hit the deep balls. From there, Kirk Cousins apologized, because this is what Kirk Cousins does. Kirk Cousins is a likable guy.
He's apologetic.
He wants to keep his job. And no, well,
he is on an enormous contract. And if he has to apologize to, you know, deflect some of this blame, because this is like the second time this Vikings team has been held to single digits, that's what he's going to do. He's probably making seven times the amount of money as Adam Thielen. So, sorry, Adam.
Yeah, so good. That's a great segue into...
Sorry, they were held to 12. No, they were held to 16 against the Packers. But yeah, they're not putting up the numbers that we're accustomed to a Kirk Cousins team.
Okay, they're not putting up numbers at all. He has done nothing this year.
They had 28. They had 34 in the game.
Who do they have 28 against?
It doesn't matter. It's two.
And they have two wins.
The Falcons.
I wouldn't say not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing... They're just not consistent.
It's something. It's definitely something.
Okay, so then what are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about that he apologized. A grown man who's being paid upwards of $100 million just apologized to the wide receiver.
Because he sucks.
He's not playing well, but I'm saying they have put up points, surprisingly, but it hasn't been consistent.
Look who put up those points. I'll ask the questions afterwards, but look who put up those points that you're talking about. Dalvin Cook has been
we've spoken about this, and this is, you know, you can credit some of this. I don't think you can credit the apology. The numbers, I will agree that he has not been up to par to what Minnesota Viking fans expect. This is not what they expect. They expect this guy to be out there whipping it. This is why they got him from Washington. And the numbers aspect, I will agree with you, but you have to attribute some of this that he only has these limited opportunities to make the big play because of Gary Kubiak's hashtag establish the run.
I disagree.
I'm saying that the opportunities are limited now that when he was on the Redskins, you know, he was whipping it, throwing it 30, 35 times a game. Now, I don't know, there was that one game he had 10 attempts.
Because they're afraid he's going to throw picks. That's the problem. They're afraid that he's going to throw picks.
But if you don't let him get there, why did you pay the money? What are you waiting to cash in on?
Because they're morons, and that's my first question of this topic. Case Keenum, would he have been any worse for this offense at a discount than the current Kirk Cousins? Yes.
I want you to see Case Keenum is now with the Redskins. It's kind of funny how they
a much worse.
I'm just saying, this might be the only comparison in the world where you could be like, look at one guy on the team. You know, they've swapped teams.
Yes.
Circuitous route for Case Keenum with a pit stop down in Denver, but Case Keenum stinks. Okay. I think Colt McCoy is going to be the starting quarterback of this Washington Redskins team this week because Case Keenum stinks and Dwayne Haskins is not ready. To Vic's point, Kirk Cousins still has talent. This team right now, as we agreed a couple weeks ago, is best when they pound the ball with Dalvin Cook and who's the second guy they got?
Madison. Alexander Madison. I agree he's got talent. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm not saying it was even appropriate to apologize. I mean, it's your job. Quarterbacks have off weeks. Granted, 4 weeks so far hasn't looked like the $100 million man that he is. But I will say that the limited opportunities, I think, very much hinders a quarterback's ability to make the big play. If you don't have that many chances to make the big play, you know, that one limited opportunity, you had that one play with Thielen against the Bears. And let's dial it back a little. The Bears defense is number one, and then it's everybody. There's a huge drop off.
Yeah.
So I would pump the brakes.
I'm not hitting the panic button.
If we get to week eight and they're 2-6, lay on the lumber.
Great. I have a stat that's about to blow you out of the water. First two things. The first thing is Case Keenum's Redskins scored double the points on the same Bears team as Kirk Cousins' Vikings the week before. That's one. Number two, what do you think Kirk Cousins' career record is against winning teams?
It's not good.
Oh.
Everybody knows it.
Oh,
you're it's asking not, me not
everybody knows it.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to go 6-19.
I don't even care what it is.
I think I hit it right on the head.
You don't care? I don't care what it is because we're talking, look, we're here and now.
Yeah, great. Here and now, he's 5-27 against teams with a winning record.
Not a bad call by me.
Almost an identical percentage. Right? When you bring it down. Right. Yeah.
I rock.
And I mean, how many fucking terrible?
Right, but the Redskins never made the playoffs when he was there. Everyone just saw a great talent. The Redskins weren't going to pay him the money, and they let him walk away.
He did sling it. I mean,
again, this is not an excuse. This is not an excuse.
Vic, you got it, dude.
What
do you have money in Kirk Cousins?
My whole thing.
Who else does he have money in? It's Kirk Cousins. Who from last week?
Baker Mayfield.
Cover this guy in just shit brown. Yeah, just throw up.
I'm actually trying to think of the third one now because we actually had this and I can't remember it.
It's also Darnold, though. Who now is Darnold. Back?
Darnold.
And he,
well,
he,
we'll see.
No, he looks back. I mean,
he no, he's not back.
He hasn't been
practicing. Is he not practicing?
No, he's like doing drills.
Individual drills.
But the split, he's still throwing the ball. I mean, this guy has, it's the spleen that it could rupture at any moment.
Good.
Adam Gase.
Smart.
Fuck you. Adam Gase, really, I don't know. He's a numbers guy. He must see something that we don't. If you get 14 on the field, something must happen, because if I'm Adam Gase, I am not throwing my franchise quarterback out there, especially if he's not close to playing. What is the point of him doing drills now as opposed to next week when he's feeling much better? He will be feeling infinitely better in 1 week. Look at the strides he's made over 3 weeks. Why is he out there throwing the ball? I'm not sure. He's wearing a helmet. That doesn't feel good on the body. It's a little snug. I like it. I love Darnold. I love what Darnold's been saying. Get me out there. I want to be out there as soon as possible. Sammy, pump the brakes. We need you long term. We don't need you having a ruptured spleen and being bedridden for the rest of your career.
He's been saying he's been dying to get out there because this is a very, very embarrassing reason to not be out there.
By the way, he gets laid.
Yeah, but I'm saying
the guy pulls.
Absolutely.
Sucks faces.
From day one, though, he's been
sucking faces.
Yes, apparently the guy does get around.
Yeah, but he hasn't been cleared for contact yet, and they're going to wait till Sunday to actually put him out there. And
do you think they're going to throw him out there on Sunday?
I'm saying they're waiting till Sunday. You were acting like it's all been wrapped up, signed, sealed, and deliveries going back out there.
I just said he's not playing this week, so why even throw him out there?
He's not. There's no contact.
By the way,
he's doing drills.
If I'm Adam Gase, I shut him down. Probably for the season.
At least for a couple more weeks.
No, knowing that the Jets are 0-3 and they go into the Eagles 0-4, Cowboys 0-5, Patriots 0-6. It's not like the Jaguars.
Right, but if he's 100% healthy and ready to play,
absolutely,
then he should be there.
Plays,
I mean, you can't lose this time as a young quarterback to get reps in the NFL.
Sure, sure.
And especially with a talent like Le'Veon Bell.
Also, I
think that opportunity would be if you were to just shut him down for the season. First of all, you're doing two things. You're not letting Darnold get play with experienced vets, guys who see the field better than anybody. And then the second thing is the guy that sees the field. Look, Jets aren't going to the playoffs. They're not making the Super Bowl. We know that. But Le'Veon Bell deserves.
We didn't know that.
Le'Veon
though.
Bell deserves a capable quarterback to be out there and someone he can mentor. I know Le'Veon Bell's not the quarterback, but there are a ton of things he probably learned from Ben Roethlisberger that he can share with Sam Darnold. And in the game is where you can perfect those.
At the other side of the Netherlands.
The
Netherlands.
You from Midland? Who's paying you?
Meadowlands.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley was supposed to be out for 6 weeks. The guy took. To practice this week.
Remember, I thought his
ankle was
4 to 8 week gap. Maybe the doctors didn't know.
Yeah, we're at two.
We're at two, and he's out there.
Because he's just
being. Technically, we're at less than. We're at, I guess.
They played one game.
You could say 12 days.
They played one game. He got injured during the Bucs game.
He did get injured during the Bucs game?
Yep.
Very reminiscent of AP, a guy who with tree trunks for legs and just recovers in like half of what the doctor thinks. This is crazy. The man's bionic. Would love to feel his leg, no homo. You know, just grab it and see what that thing's made out of. That guy's got some big legs. And I really don't think he's human. The things he does, he's impossible to take down, and he's impossible to keep him off the field. He wants to get out there, and he looks good. I mean, if he didn't, they'd say, we'll do this again in a week. Wayne Gallman, take a seat because Saquon's back.
And the Giants all of a sudden are sort of playing for the division.
You can't think like that as a Giants fan. I really think that's the worst, but
you can think at 2-2 coming off a really good defensive performance. You get the Vikings at home this week, which I would have thought was a cakewalk. I'm sure. We'll see. I don't know.
The Redskins are I was actually going to make the opposite point that you have the Vikings and the Pats coming up. I mean, Lord knows what that's going to bring. Maybe all of a sudden the Vikings is the game. No, the game's
in New York.
In MetLife Stadium. Maybe that's a
MetLife,
factor.
Not Meadowlands.
But you have to remember, look,
what year is this?
As good will it's
oh,
in
nine?
The Meadowlands.
That's what I was laughing. Also, you said it weird.
Meadowlands?
East Rutherford, New Jersey. Yeah,
the Nets stadium's right next door.
And maybe Saquon seeing these two games, he's like, all right, these could be two losses. Then we got to go on the road. I don't really know. I don't think he's rushing himself back. I think that's just who he is.
I mean, think he's just ready.
Even when he was hurt and they won the game against the Bucs, he was literally running over and there was a trainer like following him, like, please, like, let me hold your crutch. Please let me give you my shoulder to help lift
you
up. Not that you need any help, but the point is he was running and sprinting over to the dog pile. So, he's just a guy that wants to get back out there and If that's the way his body works, God bless him.
And we got football in London this weekend. Bears are playing the Raiders at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Go Yids.
Tottenham Hotspur.
The Yid Army.
The Yids. Yid Army.
We've seen games like this in London before. Mexico City.
Way to read.
Do we think that, what'd you say?
I said you're doing a great job.
You sure? You sure?
What does playing single games in a different country add to this game? Internationally. I mean, remember there was that whole talk of Buffalo or either Jacksonville moving to London. What do you guys think?
I think it's great for the NFL. They've been trying to do this. I feel like when they first started doing this, it was like maybe one game. I think the first time they did this was maybe like 10 years ago. And they would do one game. It was random. You didn't even know it was happening. And they would actually be playing it as the same time as the 1 o'clock games, which I think this game actually might be this week. Usually they do like a 9:30 a.m. start. But yeah. So far on the schedule, I keep seeing 1 p.m. And there's no way that it's a 3.5 hour difference between here and London.
I think it's
so either ESPN's six, got it wrong or four, they really are playing at one and they're playing a night game, which is, I think is awesome, which maybe you can get more fans out. I think this is great for the game. The first Mexico City game was that absolute slaughterhouse. It was the Raiders,
with the Raiders
and
too.
The Pats. Yeah. The Raiders get a lot of international love. I think it's great for the game to promote awareness. You know, as if the NFL doesn't need more recognition. You only have 4 months of the year. Every fan at home in America parks on a couch, goes to a stadium, goes to a tailgate. That's what it's about. And they're trying to show that. I mean, we all know England is known for its soccer, what they call football. So we're trying to show them our football. And, you know,
the accent was that.
I definitely think it's great awareness for the games. You get people to come out who don't have a chance to see this every Sunday.
Yeah, they're trying to provide growth, expansion for their league, basically do what the NBA has done so successfully and they are failing to do. It's a pretty known fact that outside of the U.S., the NFL is not a very well-liked league. People will always love the Patriots and Tom Brady
nearly
and everybody that's on top.
Right.
But it's they're doing their best, and they do these games to sort of get a footprint in there. But even the MLB has a better footprint in these international games. Like that Red Sox-Yankees series apparently got a far better reception from the hometown fans than these previous Mexico City games. I think that was because, remember the issues with the field, with the Rams game?
Right.
That was in Mexico City.
That was in Mexico
City.
And they canceled that because there was, I think it was a Shakira concert or some,
some
concert and they let the fans on the soccer field.
And that can't happen. Like there's been.
I think that was more against the Mexico City.
That's fine, sure.
But yeah, it doesn't bode well for the NFL as a whole when they promise to go to a country for one game a year and it's canceled. But to your point about the Yankees and the Red Sox, unlike last year's game, which I think was the Bills and the Titans, Titans are a small market.
It was Chargers Titans, I think. And that was
I thought it was Bills and a bunch of them got arrested.
No, there are always multiple London games. I think it's not just one. They do a few of these every year.
You're talking about I thought that was Eagles. Bills Eagles?
Both. It could have been, yeah.
What? I remember what
you're
talking
Halloween.
About.
It was Halloween weekend, I think. Was,
I don't think they sent the Eagles because the Eagles would have been defending champs and they wouldn't have sent the Eagles. But what they're doing now is they're sending a Chicago team, a big
market. No clue.
They probably wouldn't.
They're sending two very notable squads.
Exactly, which is a little change because they haven't done that in the past. They did send the Jets 1 year, but I think, honestly, the Jets have been irrelevant. My point is this Bears team was great last year. Everyone knows the Bears, the 85 Bears. I think this could turn the tide on football in London. I know because the Ravens were there. Right. Now there are a bunch of Ravens fans.
I mean, I'd like to see them do this.
They all think Ray Lewis still plays for the Ravens.
I sort of wonder what's next. Like, we've done Mexico City. I think there is going to be a Mexico City game this year, right?
I hope.
There is one on schedule. I'm forgetting who it is.
Okay, good.
And now we have the London. I would love to see some other countries. I mean, maybe you go somewhere else in Europe. If you can do this on one soccer team, you've got to be able to do it on others. And don't forget that in Australia, I mean, this would be a crazy time flip, but Australia's where they play rugby, which is probably the closest thing to football.
I'm sure they'd love it.
Yeah, I'm sure they've got ideas flowing and expanding.
But that's such a it's the travel,
right?
Imagine
At least Mexico City, there is a similar.
I know they're already complaining about going out from like East Coast to West Coast and the turnaround time on a Thursday game. I just think the 17-hour trip, especially because they don't have the direct flight yet from New York. You're then stopping in Hong Kong to get.
It's rough. It's rough, and we're gonna get to the Raiders later in the show. But pretty impressive that they're 2-2. No AB. all this controversy. Huge win at the Colts last week.
Gruden.
Just saying.
Gruden, possible coach
of the year. There's a lot of stuff. Perfect. All this stuff. They seem to be sort of avoiding the noise a bit and are heading straight into London in a pretty good place.
Yeah, not bad.
Quarter into the NFL season. We're going to hand out some awards. I want to go around what team slash player has been the most impressive. I want a team and a player from each of you. We'll start with teams. Vic, what team has been the most impressive to you so far? And a quick reason why.
I'm going to say Green Bay. The defense has really polished things up. You have Matt LaFleur, new coach, Sean McVay product coming over. Nobody really knew. There was all those like headlines, like who's calling the plays? Is it Rodgers? Is it LaFleur? So far, so good. Defense looks incredible. Player that's impressing me the most, honestly, Russell Wilson. I think Seattle's gotten a lot of heat. I think everybody was counting on the Rams. People looking forward to Jimmy Garoppolo coming back. And here come the Seahawks, 3-1. And clearly the defense is not as good as it used to be. So this is a lot of this is on the heels of Russell Wilson. I'd love to see how far the Seahawks team can go given the high competition now in the NFC West.
To me, although frankly, I haven't watched a lot of them this year, it's got to be the Niners. I mean, Garoppolo coming back, the Kyle Shanahan offense, Jerick McKinnon went down. You didn't really know who the back was out there.
Without Tevin Coleman.
I mean, it's a motley crew over there, and they're 3-0. They just came off the bye week. Also, the point differential, which I'm looking at, an astonishing plus 42. And that's second in the NFC. And honestly, that's third in the entire NFL. I know that it's smaller sample size because they had a bye week, but that's pretty wild that the Niners are 3-0.
Yeah, they're great. Player?
Player. Even though he was overshadowed last year, I think it's still Eckler. What he did through the first quarter really opened my eyes. No Melvin Gordon. I thought it was going to be a dud out of that backfield, but Eckler played really well, and we love him on this podcast because his name's really fun to say.
Eckler.
Yeah.
It's sort of a cop-out, but I think that we need to mention it. The most impressive to me by far is the Kansas City Chiefs. They are not at full strength whatsoever. Their guys injured every single week. And every single week, it seems like we're holding our breath for them to lose. They keep going down 10 points in the first quarter, 14 points in the first quarter. And then Mahomes goes out there and has 17, 28-point second quarters. And all of a sudden, this game is flipped on its head. Last week, against the Lions, down 3, a minute left. Patrick Mahomes, who, again, is now my most impressive guy this season, gives a speech, says, we're not fucking losing this game. And guess what? They didn't lose that game. He's turning into or having that, like, Brady effect or vintage Eli Manning effect when you're losing.
I love the way you put it. He put it a little bit lighter than that. That was basically the overall message. I guess he's not a guy who likes to use profanities, or they just don't show it on the air.
I think he's just a sweet Christian man.
I mean, his general message was, guys, let's be ourselves. Let's go out there. Let's have fun. He's just this young kid, came out of college, what, 2-3 years ago?
Who, Mahomes?
It's sort of unbelievable. The poise, I think, is more impressive than anything.
Yeah, and he just goes out there and he wins. So Chiefs and by the way, Mahomes.
I hope you know by my Eckler call, it was impressive in who did I not see playing like this? Like,
yeah.
The word impressive, not like who's the best.
No, I mean, okay. The question can be taken any way that you want to.
But so just give me a quick response. Yes. But after what Mahomes did last year, yes, he's exceeding that, but he's still the most impressive to you, even after what some of these guys, some of them no names, are doing. Still the most impressive. He's the best. He's the MVP in my eyes.
He's the most impressive to me, given the way that their team has changed and the way that they still continue not to lose.
Perfect.
Complete opposite side. Most disappointing. What team sucks that you didn't expect would suck, and what player in particular sucks that you didn't expect to suck, Jack?
I'm saying this on a personal level, but it's got to be the Broncos. I even took them in Survivor Week 1. They're now 0-4. So, yep, you guessed it. I was out in Week 1 when they lost to the Raiders. This defense has been a staple for years, and usually that could get you a couple wins, but they've had some ugly losses, and they just changed coaches to Fagioli or
Nick Fangio.
Nick Fangio. So they lost to the Raiders. They lost to the Bears by only two. They just lost to the Jags after they were up like two scores. I mean, the Gardner Minshew effect, but still, You know, your home, Mile High City, and you couldn't hold on to win. To your disappointing, to the most disappointing, I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield. I mean, he's the only guy to throw 30 throws in four straight games, but yet to have a multi-passing touchdown game.
Nice so
follow,
stats.
Yeah, follow me there.
Yeah.
So he hasn't had two touchdowns in a game yet. Nevertheless, he's thrown 30 plus balls each game. A lot of this came, my disappointment stems from his constant bark throughout the offseason directed at Daniel Jones. I mean, I love a guy who's, you know, chatty and talking some shit, but you got to back it up. And I have not yet seen a vintage starting quarterback, number one pick Baker Mayfield game. And I think it will come, but the quarterly awards, he's been pretty disappointing.
Understood.
Yeah, it would be easy for me to say the Vikings, who I basically counted out last week when I said the Bears were just going to dominate them completely, and I was right. But I will actually focus on the Texans. You know, I forgave them in week one when they lost to the Saints, even though, you know, they had them on the ropes and Drew Brees was just Drew Brees. They lost by two. I forgave that. Then you have the close win at home to the Jaguars. Then you go on the road to beat the Chargers, and then you come back home to beat the Panthers with Kyle Allen, no Cam Newton. And I mean, you lose 16 to 10. I mean, that is just horrible. 10 points at home in your own stadium. You know, I don't know how special the Panthers defense is, or if that's really the surprise of the year. Maybe I should have been speaking about the Panthers defense, but I mean, Deshaun Watson has not been there. And I guess that'll be, my least impressive player. And because of that, DeAndre Hopkins is suffering. A guy who had a ton of expectation. I mean, last week, 21 to 33, sure, the completions there, but 160 yards through the air. I mean, Kyle Allen threw for double that almost. Well, not double that, but 80 yards more. And, I just can't. The Texans, to me, I had such high hopes for them. I mean, really, sort of everybody did. You know, maybe this is just a bit of a slump for Watson, and they got to buckle down and get things done, because if they don't get it done against the Falcons this weekend, then they are far and away the biggest disappointment.
And your player?
I said Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson. Okay, yeah. It was a pairing. It could be seen as a cop-out, but I just got to say that I knew that the Miami Dolphins were going to be really bad. I didn't think that they'd be 137-point differential through four games bad. That's losing on average by 30 fucking points a game. That is just disgusting. That is so historically bad. It's the next team.
Bengals, minus 53.
That's not even close. If you look at I bet you if you add up the point differentials of all of the losers, it doesn't even equal. It's pretty close.
I mean, no. It definitely exceeds that.
Not much. Here, let's do it.
Cardinals, minus 41. Okay. Falcons, minus 29.
Okay.
Then you got two minus 70. 50 teams.
You have two minus 50s?
Yeah. You got the Bengals.
Okay, 170. All right, whatever. Under 200 to 137 for
one. Regardless,
I mean, I'd say the only terrible silver lining there is that they've played four possibly playoff teams, most likely playoff teams: Pats, Cowboys, Chargers, Ravens. That's a tough slate for anybody.
So to be clear, when I'm giving my awards, it's an open conversation. But when you guys are giving yours, we have the floor.
By the way, please jump in next time I'm giving my quarterlies.
Yeah, good. The Dolphins are fucking terrible. The worst, the most disappointing player by a mile for me is James Conner. James Conner, where have you gone? James Conner has one touchdown. He has one fumble. That is a very, very bad ratio. He has underperformed in every single week fantasy-wise, except for last week against the Bengals at home in a game that, my God, if they didn't win, I mean, their season shot already, and it was shot with Ben Roethlisberger, but when your quarterback goes out, you lean on the running back. You see what Le'Veon Bell is doing. He's still putting up at least fantasy points. He's not getting in the end zone because they can't move the ball, but at least he's doing his part. James Conner is not doing his part at all. Who is the front runner for MVP, Coach of the Year, slinging it back around? Vic, beginning with you.
My MVP so far is Baker Mayfield.
What?
You know, Let me explain something to you.
It doesn't even make any sense.
You will see it. It is only just beginning to.
There's nothing to see. This is the quarterly awards.
Oh, I thought we were making like wild predictions down the road.
It says quarterly awards.
All right. So if I'm going to pick somebody that's done it
and no rationale,
that's done it best for the 4 weeks so far, I will have to say, You know, I'm just going to be simple. I'm going to say it's Ezekiel Elliott. The guy came back, no training camp, no preseason whatsoever. He's been running over people left and right. You know, he had a bad week against the Saints, but be that as it may, he still found a way to get in the end zone. So I will say Ezekiel Elliott, a guy who shed all the media, all the attention, all the this, he wants money, blah, blah, blah. And they're 3-1. So far, so good. It looks like same old Zeke to me.
Vic, you must be high. It's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, what the guy's doing has never been done. We're talking about him possibly being the GOAT, and this is like his second or third year as a starting NFL quarterback. Coach of the year is Andy Reid. This is a Kansas City sweep. I do think Bill Belichick is right behind him, but I think right now Andy Reid hasn't made any of those classic Reid blunders. And what he's doing over there, as you said, with a handicapped team, without their best pass catcher, is super impressive. And they're not beating schmucks. This team has played some talent, and they're scoring in ways that we just haven't ever seen. So I think it's a Kansas City shuffle.
Of course, I was going to say Mahomes, but
that's my boy.
Right behind Mahomes, Alvin Kamara. What we're seeing out of the Saints with no Drew Brees, they're still winning. Of course, a lot of that goes on the defense, but Kamara is, to talk about running over players, running over guys. He's having one hell of a year. Coach of the year, I don't even think that it's close for me. It's Matt LaFleur. Comes into a situation where McCarthy fired, Rodgers hates him. All of a sudden, Rodgers loves LaFleur. This defense is culture. Like, who's their defensive coordinator?
Probably some big dude.
At the very least, whoever their defensive coordinator is should win.
And Kellen Moore.
Coordinator of the year. Or whatever the award is.
Defensive coordinator of the year.
Sure.
And Kellen Moore is offensive.
Sure. So LaFleur is through. I did not expect the Packers to be 3-1.
I agree. And you did not expect Aaron Rodgers to be so happy.
And Aaron Rodgers to be like so mediocre and for them to
but
be 3-1.
But he's still
he's happy.
McCarthy, could I support your point quickly?
Yes.
McCarthy can't get a job. Remember, he said, I want the Jets job. Jets went a different way. So I think that sheds a little light on your point. Where this Green Bay Packer team was a year ago, LaFleur steps right in, first head coaching gig, and they're making some magic up in Cheese Country.
Realize we missed your coaching pick, Vic. Coach of the year, Baker Mayfield.
I would say that
Adam Gase.
I would say it's Sean Payton. You are missing your starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. You've got injuries all over the place. And what's wrong with you?
No, it was funny, Ben's reaction, because you thought he was going to go some dumbass boneheaded.
No, Sean Payton's a fantastic
guest. Yeah, and then you went,
I didn't see the gasping for air. I didn't realize a Sean Payton pick gasping for air. Saints 3-1 team, three games without Drew Brees. So far, so good.
So good, seriously. And that fucking defense is, they look great. Week 5, spread pick 'em. Rams at the Seahawks. Seahawks are somehow, I mean, actually, I won't say somehow the favorite. Let's dissect this a bit. Jack, Rams at Seahawks, Seattle -1. Who you got?
I think Rams are looking for blood right now. Lost to the Buccaneers. I just think it's going to be a little too much firepower. I think the Rams take this one.
The Goff road home splits cannot be ignored. There's something about him going on the road. Even at home last week when he threw for 500 yards, still only 2 touchdowns, 3 picks against a Bucs team. And credit to the Bucs. They've been scrapping and clawing. But Seattle coming back home, I think for a Thursday night and a quick turnaround, Pete Carroll will have the boys ready to rock. I say they win in a close one and they cover the spread, maybe like 3 or 4 points.
This is a weird game, Vic. I have to agree with you. The Rams have just not looked that great. They clearly can be picked apart on defense, and it's never been easy to play in Seattle. It's tough. Russell Wilson looks good. That defense looked like it kind of woke up last week. We all expected Seattle to be a top defense, and they kind of haven't. And granted, they played the Cardinals, but sometimes you need a tune-up game like that.
Right.
Especially before you play the Rams. So I actually like Seattle, too. Which then kind of puts the Rams in a panic zone, but we'll dissect that next week. This is an interesting one. Bucks at the Saints. Saints are a 3.5-point favorite at home. Vic, who you got?
I will continue to roll with the Bucks right here. I say they take that momentum from L.A. They get on that plane. They're in New Orleans now. They're eating gumbo, doing God knows what, partying it up, jazz festival, what have you. I say that Jameis Winston is starting to come into himself here in this I always get my seasons off. I think he's his third, fourth season.
No, I think it's five.
It might be five.
Him and Mariota, same.
But I just, the weapons at his disposal between Evans and the unbelievable connection with Godwin. We knew about Mike Evans, but Godwin, my goodness, my Godwin. That is what I'm rolling with. Plus 3.5. I think they're winning this one. I think the little Saints honeymoon with Teddy Bridgewater is going to start to get a little rocky on the boat.
Vic, I agree with you, big guy. I know Ben was on the same podcast a couple weeks ago saying, watch out for this Buccaneers team. And they've won one in a row, which is great. But this offense is high-powered.
They got they ran into Danny Dimes in an emotional game that we'll never forget. They should have won that.
But in my book, they played well enough to win the game. And I think, as you said, Jameis Winston, we've got him on our fantasy team, and I've got him in the Schwitz League. He's coming into his own. He's got two really good weapons. O.J. Howard's still a big weapon.
If he can make use of him, then there's no stopping them.
What's the running game, if it's existent? It hasn't been there for years, but if somehow
the Bruce Arians hot hand approach.
If somehow Bruce Arians could get that going, this team is dangerous. I like them going into New Orleans and taking care of business.
This is a clean sweep. I think that the Saints defense is fantastic, but there was an emotional high Sunday night football, Dallas Cowboys in the dome. This is a 1 o'clock game against the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay has proved to us that they can win a defensive battle 20-14 against the Panthers. They can win a shootout against the Rams. They really should be 3-1, but they completely underestimated a Giants team with no Saquon and Daniel Jones playing on a high. That's like that classic one crazy time that like the Knicks somehow beat.
And they still had a chance to win.
You know what I mean? And they still had a chance to win, and they blew it with the kicker. They should have won that game. They ran into a 49ers team early that looks unbeatable. I think that the Bucs are for real. Their defense is for real. Their offense is for real. And I like them to go in, I agree, in a big game and beat the Saints. Packers at Cowboys. Dallas is a 3.5-point favorite in this one. Vic, who you got?
I went with Dallas last week against the Saints. I'm going to have to do it again just because I see them fixing the issues that they had, only being able to scrap up 10 points against the Saints. And credit to the Saints defense. I feel like the past few seasons, it's always been Saints just let up a ton of points. It's always a shootout, but they really have tuned things up over there. And I think now Dallas, you know, takes a look at their mechanics. They take a look at the film, see what they did wrong, get Zeke going on the ground. You know, the Packers defense, we've been saying it every single week. Like, where did this come from? Where did this come from? Surprise of the year. But I love the 3.5. I think you will see more of a shootout type of game. And just remember, Dallas is playing for revenge. They're not forgetting what happened 3 years ago in the playoffs at home. Aaron Rodgers drives the field and they win the game when it should have gone to overtime after the Cowboys came all the way back to tie it. This is a revenge game, and they lost to the Packers, I think, 2 years ago in Cowboys. God, they just can't win at home. Maybe I should really be picking the Packers here. But I'm talking myself out of this. I will stick with them, though. I think once, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, you own me, and that's just not going to happen with the Cowboys.
I'm going to take the Packers plus 3.5. It's a scary line, but this Packers defense is different than it's been in years past. The new look LaFleur Packers are nice, and I do think Aaron Rodgers comes up big when it matters most. Cowboys put up a stinker on Sunday night in New Orleans. I just think this Packers team is pretty determined right now. Is Davante Adams back?
Well, I think that's what they're waiting for.
Iffy. We're not sure.
Iffy. You know what? I still think Aaron Rodgers gets it done. Aaron Jones is there. Jamal Williams will not be there after that.
And you still have Scantling.
Scantling and
Geronimo Allen.
Geronimo
Allen.
I like the Packers. I don't even know if they win, but I don't see them losing by
more than 3.5. This is a battle to me of unproven teams. I said last week, pump the brakes on the Cowboys simply because I'm not saying they're not great. I'm not saying they're not going to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying they played a bunch of garbage teams the first 3 weeks, beat up on them, and finally ran into a really good defense. Sort of similarly with the Packers, they ran into a fucking terrible, terrible offense week one. Nagy and Trubisky, that was a disaster with the Bears. The Vikings have been a bad offense. The Broncos are the worst team in football, and now you lose to the Eagles. You gave up 34 points to the Eagles. So I have no clue actually what either of these teams can do. I know that Aaron Rodgers is the king of the backdoor, either cover or win. And with a line like 3.5, I'll take the hook, because if they're down 10, believe me, Rodgers is going to get to the end zone and they'll lose by 3. So to win the game, I think the Cowboys at home find a way to eke it out. I just don't like them winning by more than 3 points. Browns at 49ers, last pick'em of the week. Very interesting game. San Francisco -3.5. Jack, who you got?
I really don't want to go four road teams. But that Browns win was so convincing, and I don't know if I believe in this Niners team. I did just give them my most impressive and surprising team in the first quarter of the season. I think I got to go Browns. I know Vic is pumping his fist right now.
It's etched in the wall.
He's got Baker Mayfield as his MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and Coach of the Year. Clean sweep for him. I just think this Browns team is starting to come into its own. Maybe they don't need Baker to play at an elite level. So I don't believe in this Niners team, and I do think maybe this Browns team has found some magic behind Freddie Kitchens and Baker.
Yeah, I'm rolling with them. You know, don't forget, I said they were going into Baltimore. They were going to win.
That was a good call.
A 4.5-point spread. I said you bet your house on Cleveland. Look, you put up 40 on the Ravens. The Ravens defense, to my knowledge, was still pretty damn good this year, even though they've been caught up in a couple shootouts, one of those with the Chiefs. But you put up 40 against them. Chubb has really found his legs. I don't know what was going on the first couple weeks. He was getting all the touches and carries, but he wasn't having those breakaway runs. I think that's the key here. San Francisco's wins, I mean, now the Tampa Bay Bucs win is starting to look good, especially because it was on the road and the Bucs have found their rhythm. But, you know, the win against the Bengals and then against Pittsburgh, when that wasn't the game, that was Mason Rudolph's first start, I believe. That to me just, they're not ready for this. I know they're coming off the bye week, and the Browns now have to go. They went from Cleveland to Baltimore, now they're going to fly all the way across the country to San Francisco. I don't think that matters. I never buy into it. Take the Browns. They are going all to, I was going to say all the way, but I was going to say the Browns are going to go, be top of the NFC North after this week.
So Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't lose that often. I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but the guy has a very, 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 very high win rate in the NFL. He finds a way to win games. Baker Mayfield is pretty inconsistent. That was a really great win. I agree. I'd love to take the Browns in this one, because I was so high on the Ravens and thought that Lamar Jackson at home, Mark Ingram, etc. This is, again, though, a game of two teams. That's what's so interesting about Week 5 in particular. You think you know things about teams because you have a couple of games under your belt, but then you look, yeah, great, the 49ers beat the Bucs, but then it's the Bengals, the Steelers with nobody on their team, or not nobody, but without a quarterback. I'm still going to go with the 49ers. I think that I trust Jimmy Garoppolo far more than I trust Baker Mayfield to win a game and to not make a mistake. I think that with Njoku being injured, nobody really wants to talk about that, but that was one of his favorite targets. And if you can figure out, like, now you really just have to focus on the outside. You don't really have to worry about the tight end running up the middle. And on the other side, you have possibly the best tight end in football.
Greg
and Jimmy Garoppolo.
I always say Greg Kittle.
Another great tight end, but
George Kittle.
For some reason, I always jump to Greg.
But George Kittle.
Hey, Kittle.
He's serious. He's amazing tight end. Probably the best in football right now. So I will go with the Niners -3.5.
I just want to say, great. Really. Really great week ahead.
Really good football.
This is great football.
In comparison to last week.
I just can't even believe.
It was really bad.
And we got a great Thursday night game.
We are at week 5. Even though Todd Gurley says, he said these Thursday night games are the dumbest thing ever. And I can't really fault the guy. Seattle just played in Arizona.
I totally would have taken Seattle had you said that before.
Yeah.
That's a guy that's not ready for Thursday night.
I was going to say the Thursday night games were really bad until this Green Bay.
Hopefully, we get another good one.
Was amazing. But so a quick update: Schwitz Fantasy League. All right, I'm sorry, Victor. I don't mean to throw you under the bus.
Do it. Just
still
do it.
In last place.
Got my first win. Though.
Did you?
I got my first win this week.
Thank God.
He beat me because I left Godwin and his 42 points on the bench, and I benched Aaron Jones.
All right, but look, regardless.
Yes, win's a win, but Vic's team stinks.
God is win, Jack, I can't believe Godwin on the bench.
He was hurt.
Jesus Christ.
He was doubtful.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he wasn't doubtful right before the game, but You must have missed that notification. Ah, on to me. 4-0, most points in the league, and it's not even close. Is it close?
I don't think it's close.
I don't think that it's even close. I'm just taking a royal dump all over all of you. Just every week, pounding you into the ground. Who should start this week? Who to bench? One from each. And Jack, to answer your question from before, it doesn't need to be your best player to start. You can pick an Eckler as opposed, of course, you're going to start Mahomes. So who should you start and who should you bench? Those guys that are sort of, I'm not sure if I should play them or not. Vic, we'll start with you.
I actually like, I love James White this week. He's getting back. You know, he had a kid 2 weeks ago. God bless him. He missed week three.
Mazel tov.
He had a great, I think he had like, you know, another serious amount of catches for a running back. The guy gets split out wide all the time. This is Tom Brady we're talking about. He knows how to use this guy. And let's never forget, James White should have won that MVP 2 years ago against the Falcons. He did all the work. Not to say Tom Brady didn't. He doesn't deserve the credit. But James White, for the amount of catches, and especially if you are in a PPR league with a full point PBR, because that is really where he excels, in that Patriots offense.
And who this week do you sit?
Who do you sit? I would actually, if you've been falling in love with sort of anyone on the Cardinals offense, I'd say Christian Kirk specifically, because I have him. Maybe bench him for this week. I haven't seen anything consistent from them. They are playing the Bengals. Could be a bounce back, but I just wouldn't risk it right now. I think Kyler Murray's still figuring himself out.
I like David Johnson in Cincinnati. He's a beast, but this Cincinnati team can't stop a nosebleed. I think David Johnson's back at full strength after being hobbled 2 weeks ago. Who I'm benching? I don't love Philip Lindsay this week. He was pretty bad last week, and he's going into Chargers Stadium. They've got a pretty strong defense. I think they're looking to bounce back. They're going to be rejuvenated on both sides of the ball with Melvin Gordon returning. I don't like Philip Lindsay.
I'm going to start, who I'd start this week. I'm going to pick a defense, actually. The Jaguars defense against Carolina. The Jaguars defense has been a little iffy at points of the year. They just gave up 24 points to the Broncos. I think that Carolina is sort of in a place now where they are a ground and pound. Give it to McCaffrey. This quarterback, Allen, is not really making too many mistakes, but they're sort of going that Vikings route, and I just expect this to be a very low-scoring game, and nothing helps your defense more than no points. Somebody that I would sit this week that's on my team, I got to go Leonard Fournette. Coming off of his most impressive game, for stats-wise, possibly in his career, what do you have, 230 yards on the ground last week? You're running into a Carolina Panthers defense that they
stout.
And they know that they want to run the ball. I just see this as being a big letdown. Of course, if you don't have another running back, play him, but I expect a huge letdown game, under 100 rushing yards. I would probably sit him. Quick update for our survivor pool. The Bucks, my goodness. I think that half all survivor leagues took the Rams this past week. They saw a 10-point favorite at home, and people go by betting spreads. Look, they were minus 600 to win, and the Bucks just owned them. And so don't forget to put in your picks this week if you're still alive. I want to go around, one pick from each of you. Who's your survivor lock this week, Jack?
Pains me to do it. Jets in Philly. I think it's a Philly special. You got to go Philly. The Philly Eagles. Fly Eagles, fly. But go Jets. Fuck.
Keep in mind, it's not that easy this week because the Dolphins are on a bye. So you've got to look elsewhere for your easy pick. I love the Chiefs. I think the Colts losing last week to who did they lose last week to? It's blanking on me.
No, they lost to the Raiders.
I mean, that you just didn't see coming at all. I think now when you go on the road, Chiefs in Arrowhead on a Sunday night, look out.
I am going to go with it's so tough. I'm going to go with the Bears. It's a little bit of a risky play because it's not here, but yeah. I don't think that this Raiders team can do anything against that defense. That defense is by far the best in football. And the Raiders pulled magic out of a hat. I don't believe that this Raiders team is an above 500 team, and that would put them at 3-2. So I would take the Bears, a bit of a risky play. Obviously, the Eagles are the easy call, and maybe even the Chargers. But the Chargers are in a division game. Denver sucks, but division games get weird. Like, you never know what could happen. So I'm going to go with the Bears. Well, that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please remember to follow the Schwitz on Instagram. Follow our or join our private Facebook group. It's called The Schwitzers. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast in the App Store. And just continue following for updates on our Fantasy League Survivor Pool. We're going to be doing a ton of fun stuff. And just stay tuned. New episode, regular Schwitz. Talking all sports comes out next Tuesday. And thanks so much again, and have a great weekend.